Let's pray together. Lord, Lord, speak to us your holy word, that hearing it, our hearts may be transformed, our lips may prophesy, and our feet follow your path. For the sake of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Please, open your Bibles and listen, for these are the very words of God, coming from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, or your son, or your daughter, or your male servant, or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. These are the very words of God. Thanks be to God. Let me tell you about the most rebellious thing that you will do all week. It won't make the news. It won't trend on your phone. No reporter will cover it. And no one will write a song about it. But quietly, it is the most defiant, countercultural, revolutionary act still available to an ordinary person in the modern world. It is this. To stop. To put down the phone, to close the laptop, to walk away from unanswered emails, the work of the week, and the unfinished list, and to rest. On purpose, unhurried, unashamed, for the Lord. In a culture that worships hustle, measuring your worth by your output and your output by your hours, simply resting is a form of rebellion. And here is the astonishing part. God does not merely permit this rebellion, he commands it. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. That is the fourth commandment. Over the next few weeks, we'll hear a sermon series on it. And you may think, a whole sermon series on the fourth commandment? Pastor, there's not much there. But as we'll find, as with much in Holy Scripture, there is much, much more than we realize. And this sermon series will not be exhaustive. Someone once described the fourth commandment in words I have never forgotten. It is a day of protest against the servitude of work and the idolatry of money. Let's hear that again slowly, because it is extraordinarily relevant in our age. A day of protest against the servitude of work and the idolatry of money. Hold on to that phrase. We're going to need it. When we heard a sermon series on the first commandment just over a year ago, I told you that you can boil the heart of all 10 commandments down to a single shocking sentence. And here it is again. Thou shalt not be a slave. That right there is the spine running through every single commandment. God is not handing us a list of arbitrary rules to spoil our fun. He is the Father who reaches into the house of bondage, takes his children by the hand, and says, "You will never be a slave again. Not to Pharaoh, not to sin, not to the things I made to serve you." And do you know what's remarkable? We recoil at that. We hear, "Thou shalt not be a slave," and something in us flinches, which reveals the truth about ourselves. It tells us that deep down, we actually want to be slaves. Slaves to our appetites, slaves to our work, slaves to our money, slaves to our entertainment and hobbies, slaves to our schedules, our reputations, our endless little tyrannies. We have grown so comfortable in our chains that the offer of freedom feels like a threat. We have learned to love the very things that are eating us alive. So this commandment, the fourth commandment of keeping the Sabbath holy, is a day of protest. It is the Lord planting the flag in the middle of your week saying, "Not here. You will not be enslaved here." I want to suggest that we are living through a twofold crisis, one in the church and another in the wider world. The first is a crisis of worship. Survey after survey tells us the same grim story. A shrinking share of those who call themselves Christians actually gathering to worship together on the Lord's Day. Many seem genuinely surprised to learn that this is a commandment, not a suggestion, not a hobby, not a preference for the religiously inclined, but a commandment from the living God. Imagine if we treated the commandment against adultery the way we treat the commandment to worship. Well, I keep the commandment of adultery most weeks. Does that comparison sit comfortably with you? It shouldn't. It should unsettle us. And it grows more sobering with each generation. The grandparents kept the day out of habit. The parents kept it out of duty. And now too many of the children do not keep it at all, because no one ever told them it was the Lord who was asking them to come. We have raised a generation that can name 100 different influencers, but not a single reason to gather with the people of God on the Sabbath day. That is not merely a scheduling problem. It is a famine. People are starving in the midst of a feast because they have forgotten that there is a table around which they experience and receive God. And consider what is lost when the day of the Sabbath is lost. The family that never sits down together because there is always practice, always overtime, always a game, always one more thing. The marriage that runs on fumes because the two of them have not had an unhurried hour in months. The soul that has forgotten how to be quiet because it has never been allowed to be still before God. When you tear the Sabbath out of the week, you do not get more life. You get a thinner, more frantic, more exhausted life, stretched over 7 days instead of restored on one glorious Sabbath. We did not gain freedom when we lost the Sabbath day. We simply traded one master who gives rest for 1,000 little masters who never do. How do we name this crisis? At its root, it is a crisis of justice. Justice is simply a virtue of giving someone what is owed to them. And God is owed our worship. Why? Because everything that we have comes from Him, everything good. Let me put it as plainly as I can. Everything except for my sin comes from God. Let's begin counting. My life, His gift. My family, His gift. My friends, my health, the talents that let me earn a living, the income that pays for the house I sleep in, the clothes on my back, the breath in my lungs, and this very second, all of it has God as its source and so much more. He is the origin of everything good. Strip away the illusion that you are a self-made man and you are a self-made woman, and you'll find underneath a man and woman held into being by God alone every single second. And because that is true, He does not merely own my Sunday. He owns my Monday and Tuesday and every day of the week and the small hours of every night. All of time belongs to God. He must come first because no one else can even come close to competing for my gratitude the way that He can. No one else gave me life. I am breathing right now only because He is choosing in this very moment to sustain me. One day, He will withdraw that gift and call me home. But right now, this breath, this very one you are taking as you listen, is on loan from God. The wonder is not that God asks for one day. The wonder is that He asks for so little. Someone said it perfectly. It is impossible to love God without adoring and worshiping Him. You cannot love God without worshiping Him. Here is the things about human beings. We are worshipers by design. We all worship something. Some people worship a football team and arrange their whole schedule around it, painting their faces and cheering in parking lots. Some worship the cult of youth and pour fortunes into changing their face that is slipping away somehow. Some worship money. Some worship leisure. Some worship sex. Some worship entertainment. Some worship their own work. Some worship their own thoughts. Friends, take an honest inventory of your week. Look at your calendar and your bank statement, and you will find your gods listed right there in plain sight. Because we always make time and money for what we truly worship. The question is never whether you will worship. The question is what you will worship. And whether the thing you have chosen is worthy of the dignity of your human soul. You are not an object. You are a subject, a someone, a person stamped with the image and likeness of God Almighty Himself. The whole machinery of this age is bent on persuading you that you are a means to an end, a unit of labor, a consumer, a profile to be sold to advertisers. Do you remember how we learned to translate the commandment about against graven images? You shall not bow down to anything that makes you a slave. Nothing in all creation may reduce you to slavery, because only you are made in the image and likeness of God. Therefore, the only one you and I will ever bow before is God Himself. Not my schedule, not my work, not my entertainment and sports. Certainly not something as fleeting and faithless as wealth. Which the Holy Scriptures say, sprout wings and flies away like an eagle. Nothing else gets my knee, only the Lord. And so God gets my Sunday, the Sabbath, because He is worthy of my worship and nothing else is. And let me say a word about that little phrase again, a day of protest. We do not often think of rest as resistance, but it is. Our entire economy is engineered to keep you spending, scrolling, striving, and consuming around the clock. The stores never close, and the feed never ends, precisely because someone profits from your restlessness. To stop, then, is an act of glorious sabotage against the machine. It is to declare with your whole life, I am not for sale. My hours are not a commodity. My peace cannot be purchased, and my worth cannot be earned, because it was already settled at the cross. Every Sabbath you keep is a hammer blow against the idol of money and the tyranny of the clock. And let me ask a tender question. What does your relationship with God actually look like? If I spoke to my friend only to ask for things, pick up the groceries, return my packages, give me a ride, fix my problem, I would not really have a friend. I would have an errand boy. Be honest. Is that not how many of us pray? We treat the Lord of glory as a heavenly assistant we summon when the bills are due and the diagnosis is bad. The Sabbath day is the Father's gift and gentle correction for just that. It is a day to come to Him, not merely to get something, but to truly experience and receive Him, and for us to adore the one who is truly worthy, to spend time with the Lord and King, who we also can call our friend, rather than the errand boy. Now, let me lighten the air for a moment, because I am preaching to myself as much to anyone else here. I once read a study claiming that the average person checks their emails and texts 77 times a day. I was so convicted by that statistic that I immediately needed to check my phone 12 more times to make sure I had it right. That right there is the servitude the fourth commandment is protesting. The invisible chain that buzzes in our pockets and tells us we are never, ever allowed to stop. We may laugh at that a bit, but it is the nervous laughter of people who recognize their own captivity. Let me tell you about a man who refused captivity, paid for it, and was glorified by it. In 1924, a young Scottish runner named Eric Lindell traveled to the Paris Olympics as the British team's best hope for the 100-meter dash. He was a devout Christian, the son of missionaries. When the schedule was finally released, he learned that the race for his best event will be held on a Sunday. Lindell quietly withdrew. The press savaged him. Officials pressured him. Some called him a traitor to his own country. He trained for years for that single race. And he gave it up without bitterness, because the Lord's day was the Lord's, not his to hand over to a stopwatch. But the story doesn't end in loss. Lindell was entered instead for the 400 meters, not his event, a race he was not favored to win. On the morning of the final, someone slipped him a note, quoting from the old scripture, "Those who honor me, I will honor." Lindell ran with his head thrown back and his arms flailing, a style the coaches mocked. And he not only won, he shattered the world record. When asked by the press why he didn't run on a Sunday, the Sabbath, he famously answered that question with another question. Whose day is it anyway? It's not mine. It's not yours. It's God's. Lindell also said that God had made him fast, and that when he ran, he felt God's pleasure. Eric Lindell discovered what every one of us is invited to discover. You cannot outgive God. Lindell protested the servitude of his age and refused to bow down to the idol of human glory. The God he honored him in return. He later poured out his life as a missionary in China and died in a wartime internment camp. Still, the survivors said of him that he was organizing games for the children, tending to the sick, caring for the poor, still teaching frightened people about God and how to live truly free. Most of us will never stand on an Olympic track, and we'll never make headlines for our obedience. But every single one of us seems the same quiet decision Lindell faced. Only ours comes in plainer clothes. It comes on a Sunday morning when the bed is warm, the game is on, your entertainment is waiting, and your to-do list is glaring at you from the counter. It comes when the boss expects you to answer on your day off. And you have to decide whether your soul has a Sabbath or only your schedule does. In those ordinary moments, with no cameras and no crowd, you are answering the very same question Eric Lindell answered. Whose day is this anyway? And whichever way you answer, you are worshiping something. That is what the fourth commandment is for. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. It is not a leash. It is a declaration of independence signed by the handwriting of God and renewed every week of your life. For 6 days, the world will shout that you are what you produce. And one day arrives like a trumpet blast, a jubilee like we talked about last week, announcing that you were bought with a price. That you belong to your maker, and that no employer, no market, no entertainment or hobby, no anxious inner taskmaster holds title to your soul. The world calls that a luxury. Heaven and God calls that your birthright. So, as we close, let me press this commandment home in two ways that can absolutely change you, really change you this week. First, dethrone the idol. Take an honest look at what actually sits on the throne of your time and your treasure. Name it out loud. Maybe it's your career. Maybe it is money. Maybe it is people's approval. Maybe it's a screen that never goes dark. Maybe it's some comfort or entertainment. This week, give God the first and best of your time before you give it to anything else. The first moments of the morning and the first day of the week, the Sabbath, and let that act of obedience quietly topple the idol you have been serving. Idols fall not when we shout at them, but when we finally bow down somewhere much, much better, when we bow down to God with everything that we are and everything that we have, to God alone. Second, reclaim your freedom. Stop apologizing for resting. But don't let your rest get in the word in the way of your Sabbath either. When the Lord's day comes, plant your flag in it. Refuse to be a slave to the inbox, to the hustle, to the lie that the world will collapse if you rest for one day. Let your Sabbath become a weekly act of holy defiance, announcing to the powers of this age and to your own restless heart that everything that you have is a gift, and the giver is more than enough. You are not made to be a slave. You are made to be a son, a daughter, a worshiper of the living God. And on the Sabbath, during worship, God meets with his people in an extraordinary way, blessing us with his many graces and his many gifts, and the greatest gift that we can ever receive, himself. So, whose day is this? Is it theirs? Is it yours? Or is it God's? Whose day is this? Answer that question with your life. Plant your flag on the Sabbath day and dare the world to take it. Let the inbox howl. Let the hustle rage. Let every master that cracked a whip over your soul discover that you belong to the master who sets slaves free. This is your protest. This is your declaration of independence, not signed in your trembling hand, but from the blood of the one who bought you and will not lose you. You are not made to be a slave. You are made to be a child of the living God. So this Sunday, this Sabbath, and every single Sabbath, stop, rest, worship God, experience him, receive him, and be free. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Pray with me. Lord God, we want to be free. We want to be free. The greatest freedom that we will ever experience, the greatest freedom that we would ever be able to receive, is when we stop bowing down to the things of the world and instead bow down to you alone. And so we ask, Lord, we ask that whatever belongs to you, and it all does, that we, O Lord, would give it to you. Lord, bless us, keep us, and help us, we pray. Amen.